between you and me, right where you are right in this moment, is exactly where you were meant to be.
If you want a quick and easy way to remove glyphosate from your gut and that of your family, your children, your partner, your dogs, please check out the show notes for the link to the product that I love and recommend. It's absolutely healthy, tasty, delicious, and
now, if you're feeling like that's way out of the ball game and you're really suffering with like
not only
pain and body guilt,
but also
shame, anxiety,
gut,
depression,
heal your
like,
gut lining,
these emotions run a lot of people's lives, and that's
high
not
level
by
of
accident.
To your family
our culture is set up
form.
To
again, check out the link under
keep
the
us in those emotions
says, heal
because it's easier to control people
now.
When they're in those emotions. But if you're on an awakening journey and you have recognized that those are there, you have taken the most crucial step to get out of that, which is to become aware that it's actually happening.
Just time to awaken, to bring all the parts of yourself back to this present moment and explore the joy that is your life when you live full out, fully expressed, fully harnessing the joygasmic potential of your body and yourself. Anything is possible, and especially we are here to tell you that deep and fulfilling love is possible and is available for you when you choose that for yourself.
Welcome to this tiny short podcast called Everything You Need to Know About Glyphosate. So there is absolutely so much research on glyphosate, which is the active component in Roundup. And instead of boring you with all of the nitty-gritty details, I'm just going to give you a very quick overview of the things that you need to know, the things you need to avoid, and what you can do moving forward to remove glyphosate that you have in your body. Absolutely 100%. If you have been born in the world in the last 100 years, you have some glyphosate in your body, regardless of how clean you've been eating, regardless of how clean you have been experiencing and working on your body, there is some in there. And so first of all, let's talk about what is glyphosate. So glyphosate is a chemical that has been used extensively in the industrial food processing industry. It is used primarily to kill animals and insects that would otherwise eat crops like soy, wheat, barley, lentils, oats, and other grains and legumes. So if you are eating any sort of processed bread products, it has glyphosate in it. If you are eating any GMO products, it has glyphosate in it. If you are eating conventional pasta, it has glyphosate in it. If you are eating a processed food product that has some form of wheat in it, it has glyphosate in it. And glyphosate is specifically challenging because, well, before we get into what it does in the body, which is really, really challenging, let's talk about what it does to the plant. So I want you to imagine that there is a field, a large field of, let's call it wheat growing. And wheat in and of itself has been absolutely incredibly helpful to the human species in terms of being able to guarantee that there are food supplies over the winter. So it's something that has come in and through agriculture has supported the human species to grow and become more vibrant. Over the years, wheat has been genetically modified and sort of not in a lab genetically modified, but encouraged to grow into a more and more glutinous, a more and more sort of like that stringy, stretchy thing that happens with bread dough that I absolutely loved as a child. It has that experience and has been bred for more and more of that experience in it. Now, this is in and of itself is not necessarily a problem, although a lot of people do experience food sensitivity to wheat products. And I have a theory that it may not actually be the actual wheat itself so much as the fact that none of the industrial processes are soaking wheat properly in order to deal with the phytic acid, which is a whole other topic that we can get into in another podcast. But they are specifically Roundup. So I think a lot of gluten intolerance is actually Roundup intolerance, which makes sense if we think, let's take a toxic chemical that actually kills the plant, rendering it equally dead and easy to harvest. So normally in a field, you know, we've got the wheat is growing in a variety of experiences. If you've ever driven past a farm or walked through a farm field, you'll know some places get more sun, some places are more wet, and the field is not equal. And so the grain does not grow equally across all of these places. What Roundup is used for conventionally, other than killing off the pests and bugs that might otherwise eat this, and there's a whole topic on sort of Roundup resistant plants and the challenges with that. But the experience is that right before harvest, the farmers will spray the entire field with a high enough dose of Roundup that it essentially kills all of the plants, forcing them to mature and dry their grains quicker and in a sort of non-harmonious with nature sort of way, so that the entire field is at an equal state of readiness, so that every single grain is at the same place of basically deadened with chemicalness that is causing it to be all ready to harvest at the same time. This is very, very helpful for industrial farming when you don't want partially matured grain in with your over dry grain, because it's challenging to sort. There's nobody actually looking at that process. It's all happening with machines. And so it helps quote unquote with the large scale production of wheat, which, you know, I have thoughts and feelings about. Again, maybe I'll do another podcast on that at some point in the future. If you want that, please just post in the comments and I'll put together something like that. So the experience of this plant is then one of being shocked with toxic chemicals into death and then harvested. Now we take that grain, we bring it to a storage facility. It then sits for some period of time. And then eventually it is brought to some sort of plant that then processes it and turns it into food. So traditionally, grains, and I saw this really beautifully done in Mayan culture. Well, when I was living in the Yucatan, they will take their corn, dry it, and then for storage, and then before they use it to eat, they will soak it overnight. Now, soaking it overnight, and this is a sort of a little known fact that is absolutely crucial, does something really incredible to the grain, which is it takes it from its dried state, where it can literally sit for days, weeks, years, and maybe even decades without decaying in any way. The seed has this outer shell that holds it in stasis until it is able to have the right conditions to grow. So the outer shell of this plant contains a chemical called phytic acid. Phytic acid basically acts to bind and hold the minerals and nutrients of the seed all together in seed form until it experiences the right conditions, which ideally would be some water and some soil going into the ground. Now, going back to the industrial food process. So the industrial food process has this grain that is covered in Roundup that is then going into some sort of mill or processing experiences, getting ground up and turned into bread, turned into pasta, turned into whatever, mixed with other ingredients. So let's just pause here for a second and go, okay, so we have a seed that will hold on to itself, its selfness, its seedness indefinitely until it meets soil and water, that has a chemical on it that holds it together, that has the effect of bonding to other nutrients, which means that if we grind that grain without first soaking it, we are basically completely mucking with the experience of that seed's natural potential. We are saying, instead of holding on to those nutrients and perfectly releasing them to create a new plant out of this, let's just take you, grind you up, smush you, and put you in our body through some other form of processed food. Now, that's not quite right. If we think about it, it's like, we're like disrespecting the nature of the plant, but also the phytic acid and its ability to bond to nutrients and basically grab and suck and hold on to nutrients. If we are not soaking it and sort of releasing and relaxing and saying, hey, plant, it is time to grow and time to connect to all of those nutrients, we're basically saying, we're going to grind that phytic acid up with the experience of the whatever seed or grain or legume that we're talking about, because this is true not just of wheat, but all legumes, all beans, all seeds, anything that sort of sits in dry storage for a period of time has phytic acid in some way, shape, or form. So when we take that ground up seed that has not been soaked and put it in our body, well, what is actually happening is that we're taking unprocessed phytic acid that has not been washed off the seed, but is still there and intact and trying desperately to hold that seed together. We're now to hold on to nutrition and nutrients. And so if you are eating any grains that have not been soaked, you are literally putting anti-nutrients in the form of phytic acid into your body that is going to grab any of the nutrition that came from that seed in the first place and pulling it into your, pulling it back to itself and basically causing damage to the gut lining along the way, causing damage to the nutrition that you just put into your body and causing damage to your gut lining. This is a problem. This is a big problem. And most people don't know this about grains, which is why I'm creating a podcast around it. So on top of that, so let's say that seed's already gone through that journey. That seed is also coated in Roundup, okay? Let's say it's been conventionally grown. It's been sprayed like I talked about. So that seed is covered in phytic acid. And around that phytic acid, it has a layer of Roundup. Roundup is a highly toxic substance. Glyphosate sits in the body for years, decades. It continues to bioaccumulate it. And it is a source of inflammation. It's a source of the creation of leaky gut. It is absolutely a problem when it is in our bodies. And we really, really need to work on this. And so, I get so jazzed up. Basically, when you're taking conventionally processed, non-soaked, non-organic GMO products and putting them into your body in the form of bread, pasta, whatever, you go, oh, you know, I'd rather not buy organic because it's just more expensive. You're literally saying, it's okay for me to eat food that has been soaked and sprayed and absolutely infused with chemicals that are detrimental to my body. I am okay with putting chemicals in my body that are harmful to my body. I am okay with doing that because I would rather have something in my belly than nothing. I would rather have something in my belly than nothing. And this is absolutely backwards thinking that does not help to nourish our body at all. And the same is true for non-organic produce. Just saying, it only takes about 3 weeks to start to resolve some of this in our bodies when we switch over to fully organic. Which I have a great podcast with Dr. Sierra, that you can reference, and I'll put that in the show notes for this one. So the experience is that basically we are putting toxic stuff into our body, and it's no wonder that so many people have IBS, irritable bowel syndrome, that so many people have chronic diarrhea. I have a friend who was in her 30s before she realized that poop should not be liquid. Poop should not be spewing out of your body, kind of like a form of urine. It should be solid, coherent, you know, in a log form and coming out of your body in a good way. But if you have not had these conversations with your family or with your parents or with your friends, because it's a taboo subject and who talks about poop other than me, and lots of other people who are doing this kind of education for you, you know, I'm not the only one, obviously, then there is an experience where our guts become very, very dysregulated. And that gut dysregulation has implications for our minds, has implications for our body experience, for our psychological experience. There are so many implications for making this choice. So if you have been struggling with knowing you shouldn't be eating gluten anymore and still jamming cookies or cakes or bread or sandwiches or pasta into your mouth, absolutely, I know that this is a challenging shift. It took me about 3 years of trying to willpower myself out of this experience before I actually made the cognitive shift, the understanding that I was equating bread, which is something my mom made beautifully when I was a child, with mom love, and that I was scared of losing mom love if I let go of bread. This is absolutely not the case. At all. In fact, it becomes incredibly empowering when you reprogram mom love to be eternally there and available, regardless of the experience that you have with your mom. And you also reprogram bread or unprocessed, improperly prepared wheat or seed-based products to be something that you don't put in your body, and you fill your body with joygasmic bliss every time you successfully say no to these products, knowing that you are completely loved by your mother, by your family members, by whoever first introduced you to these foods, and you have complete autonomy to be able to choose your reality now for your optimal food and health. Mental health challenges. If you are struggling with your gut in any way, shape, or form, you absolutely need to look at your relationship with gluten, with sugar, with dairy, with non-organic foods, and you need to start making changes if you really, really want to experience a shift in your physiological, psychological, and gut issues. These are all high challenge foods that cause inflammation. No, you do not need to cut them out of your diet forever. It may be choosing to make your own bread. It may be choosing artisan made breads from other people. You absolutely do not need to exit bread completely from your life, but you do need to understand that glyphosate is not something you want in your body, that phytic acid can be highly detrimental to your efforts to nutritioning your body the way that you're wanting to buy your healthy eating choices, and that absolutely there is an easy way to shift and remove those experiences. And I will tell you a little bit about it now. And if you want help with running yourself through this actual process, please get a hold of me. I absolutely love helping people make it effortless for them to stop eating foods that they know are bad for them. Because when you eat foods that you know are bad for you, you are not only putting foods that are bad for you into your body, but you are also cutting and damaging that relationship that you have with your inner knowing and your wisdom. And you are absolutely causing damage in the terms of guilt and shame that are then stored in our lower chakras, our sexual energy chakras, which should be alive and juicy and flowing, and that are stopping you from experiencing the true pleasure that is possible for your body and the true health and vibrancy that is possible for your body. So let's talk a little bit about the process that I like to call mapping across. Now, this is a straight up from the textbook NLP technique, where we basically look at the submodalities, which is how we store information in our brain. So if I say to you, think about bread and what you love about it, I'm assuming you like bread, or you wouldn't be listening to this, but we could use cheese, we could use milk, we could use candy, we could use coffee, we could use any, we could use cigarettes, we could use any of these sort of experiences that are chronically addictive for a lot of people. I'm going to use bread for this example because we're talking about glyphosate and grains. So if I say to you, think about what you love about bread, immediately, you've got a picture in your mind, whatever that looks like. You've got a smell in your nose. You've got a feeling in your heart. You've got an experience of some sort. You've got some thoughts. Oh, I love bread. You know, whatever that might be for you, everybody's is going to be unique and different, but you have a way that you map that experience in your, not your conscious brain, but your subconscious brain, which is what provided that information. As soon as I said, think about what you love about bread, right? So we could do exactly the same thing for a food that you find disgusting. So if you take a moment and think about a food that you find absolutely revolting, you would not touch with a 10-foot pole, and you would rather be in a different room from, and you think about that food and you go, okay, what are the images that are coming up for you when you think about that food? What are the thoughts that come up for you when you think about that food? What are the smells that come up for you when you think about that food? What are the emotions that come up for you when you think about that food? What are the feelings, the body sensations? Now, it should be pretty obvious that you're tracking bread and this food that you find disgusting completely differently. You have completely different impulse responses to each of these foods. Now, you can also do this with a food that you find sort of like you don't really have an issue with. Sometimes you eat it, sometimes you don't. You don't really crave it. You enjoy eating it sometimes, but it doesn't have control over you. And maybe you can think of right now a food that might have that example. And you can even pause the video or go back to that little section about disgusting food and think about that neutral food that you have. Now, you have absolutely complete free will choice in how you process. Most people think, oh, you know, I've always loved bread, so I will continue to always love bread. I can't give it up. I don't want to, you know, all of those thoughts fall into that thought category of things that we think about, you know, that food that we love, in this case, bread. And so the experience of shifting these over is really an inward exercise. It's a thinking, imagining exercise where you can literally take that food you find disgusting and that food that you love, or that food that you don't have an issue with and you're not addicted to, that you can have total free will about choosing what it is that you want. It really depends on where you want to end up. Do you want to change your relationship with bread from something that you find, from something you love, to something you find revolting because you actually really do have a problem with putting it in your body and your body really is sensitive and it needs some time to heal? Knowing that you could remap it at any time to any of these experiences, you can change it from something you love to something you find revolting and you're never going to touch it again. You can change it from something you love to something you have complete control over. You can change it from something you love and have an issue with to something that you don't have an issue with, but you still love and you appreciate from time to time. You absolutely have the ability to make this change. And we literally just make this change by taking some quiet time and looking at where that mapping of the thing you love is and modifying and tweaking and changing that storage that we have so that it looks more like the thing that you either are revolted by or that you have. I give a real life example. So for me, it was bread. Absolutely. I did pasta, actually, like white pasta with like cheese sauce all over it. Like nom, nom, nom. And I used to be about this thick, really thick, you know, 200 and some pounds, because all I was eating was pasta and cheese sauce. And at that time, I was also highly depressed, super challenged in my mind, dealing with suicidal ideation and a lot of challenges. And so when I did this exercise, the food that I thought of that was absolutely revolting, because I knew I was like, you know what, I'm just going to try it. If I need to come back to it at some point, I can reprogram it again. And I thought, okay, I'm going to compare it with shark fin soup, which is something that when I was like 15, 16, I got exposed to at a wedding. Somebody forced me to eat it. It's kind of like eating snot, like mixed with like gooey bits of ew. And it was all based in like a shark, which is like kind of a scary animal, but also like a really beautiful animal. Anyway, it was just like horrifically traumatizing to me to eat shark fin soup, but I had a very vivid memory of what that was like. And so the experience of doing that was mapping bread with shark fin soup and, or pasta, sorry, with shark fin soup. And lo and behold, the very next day, I go, do I want pasta? And I go, fuck no, 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 keep that pasta away from me. This is a food that was absolutely my favorite food up until that point. And I have done this exercise with dozens of people since then and helped them remove their addictions with sugar, their addictions with pasta, with wheat, with sugar, with caffeine, all of these things. Is absolutely really simple to make the change. The most challenging part is for you to say, I really need to make that change. I really want to make that change. And I'm encouraging you through the information I provided in this video to really think about it and go, do I really want to continue to operate from the behavior that has been put into my brain by marketing messages, that has been absolutely programmed into me to like this thing that is actually poorly processed, poorly prepared, full of toxic chemicals that are bad for my gut and cause long-term health issues? Do I really want to continue putting toxic things into my body? Do I want to live my life moving forward connected to the guilt and the shame now that I have this knowledge that I'm actually doing this every time I eat this food that I love? Or would I rather be empowered to make a change for my health, to create a new and beautiful way for myself to live in relation to food, where I no longer feel victimized or guilty or shameful by these experiences, and that you can absolutely set those boundaries anywhere you want, and you can absolutely change and modify those boundaries as it suits you later. You can even go back to what you were doing before if you really want to. And I'm happy to reprogram you back to where it is that you want to. I have a little bit of an ethical issue there, but you know, if somebody really asked and really wanted to go back, I would consider it. But you got to really ask yourself, the underlying issue is so often a fear of a loss of love from community spaces. Oh, if I don't eat bread, I'll be a weirdo at the table. I'll be one of those gluten sensitive people. Say I don't want to eat it. You can come up with your own reasons. And a lot of the work that I do with people is returning to that self-confidence where they can actually say, this is what I want for myself. And I don't have to say F you to everybody else and their beliefs, but I can just say, this is what I'm choosing for myself. And to be able to state your needs and your boundaries around your food stuff from your own personal choices without having to make anybody feel bad for their choices, without having to make anybody feel bad, including yourself, about your choices, and allowing it to still be harmonious in the space, allowing yourself to be really peaceful in the space and to be able to continue to engage with social gatherings. There is absolutely a challenging experience that arises when you know that something you're doing is not good for you and you choose to do it anyways. That creates stress in the body that then makes that thing that you've eaten more and more challenging for your body to digest. And it is absolutely possible to come to a place where you can eat foods that have glyphosate in them or haven't been prepared in the proper way and engage what I call hospitality rules, which is, I'm going to eat this because that's what's being offered right now. And I'm hungry and I want to eat and I want to participate. And knowing that your body is impervious and is clearly protected from that experience, your body has the ability to deal with and expel that food really, really quickly. There's a misconception around, you know, if your digestion is normally good and you eat something that is not so good for you, you relapse and go back into pasta or sugar or whatever it is. And then you have this experience of diarrhea the next day. That is actually not your body failing or misfunctioning. That is actually your body functioning expertly to be like, oh, this thing that's in my guts, it really doesn't want to be there. Get it out, and get it out fast, you know? And that is actually what the experience of diarrhea after choosing to eat something you shouldn't really be eating is all about. And you can live a life where that actually doesn't happen, where you are fully empowered to make the choices that you want to make, and you are fully empowered to make those choices from a healthy and conscious way. So this is absolutely an invitation. If you are still here and you are still watching, you have changes you want to make and you need support to make them. And so I am absolutely here for you with love, with compassion for where you're at, with compassion for your past experiences and your past choices and your current challenges, whether they be mental or digestive or whatever, to shift and change this experience so that you can operate from exactly a place that is so healthy for you, so supportive for you, and is beautiful for you. And I am absolutely here to help you with that remapping exercise, to help you with this experience of changing the way that you set boundaries for yourself around food so that it becomes effortless to make choices that are in alignment with what you know is the healthiest and best for you. Thank you so much for your time and listening. If you want to connect with me and explore this, absolutely head over to Elena Harder. It's got two R's at the end, Elena Harder. The second R is for Rekshan. I'm a Harder Rekshan. That's my last name. Thank you to my beautiful husband for bringing my name to its full fruition. So elenaharder.com/gluten to book your consultation to shift away from what it is that you have been experiencing. I'm absolutely honored to help and support you on this journey. And on that page, you will see there's an opportunity to book a free consultation where we can talk about your issue, or there's the opportunity to just dive in and book a transformation call. Most people have radical results in just one session. And I generally work with people in 1, 3, or 6 session packages. And the 6 section packages are really for those people who want to make changes in many, many areas of their lives and absolutely experience radical transformation in many areas of their lives very, very quickly. So I'm honored to do this work. I absolutely encourage you, if you're still here, head over to that page and book yourself a time. You deserve it. You deserve to feel good in your body. You deserve to resolve those health issues. You deserve to not feel guilty for the foods that you want to eat. You deserve to feel wonderful in your body all the time. And I am absolutely here to support you in that journey. Thank you so much, and I look forward to connecting. If you want a quick and easy way to remove glyphosate from your gut and that of your family, your children, your partner, your dogs, please check out the show notes for the link to the product that I love and recommend. It's absolutely healthy, tasty, delicious, and of the ultimate quality for your family to help not only clear glyphosate out of your gut, but also improve leaky gut, heal your gut lining, and offer a high level of nutrition to your family in a very simple form. Again, check out the link below that under the heading that says Heal My Guts Now.